This is lecture number one in New Testament Greek for beginners. Well, hello there, fellow students of the Bible. Welcome to the study of New Testament Greek. You've begun a study course here that will take you through Machen's textbook. And in a few months from now, if you will study diligently, you're going to be able to open the Greek New Testament and do mighty things with that word. The Koine Greek, in which your New Testament was originally written, was the language of the Greek world and the language of Israel in the years from 350 BC to about AD 500. The Greek language is not an impossible study. It requires a lot of memory work. From page one in your book, you are going to be memorizing. Before we start on the first page of your textbook, I'd like to spend just a couple of minutes telling you about the Greek language and the need to study it. Many years ago, I found this statement by Martin Luther. I don't know where this was, what book I found it in, but Martin Luther said, "Insofar as we love the gospel, to that extent, let us study the ancient languages. And let us notice that without the knowledge of languages, we can scarcely preserve the gospel. Languages are the sheath which hides the sword of the Spirit. So, although the faith and the gospel may be proclaimed by preachers without the knowledge of those languages, the preaching will be feeble and ineffective. But where the languages are studied, the proclamation will be fresh and powerful, the scriptures will be searched, and the faith will be constantly rediscovered through ever new words and deeds." What would you think of a doctor who went into the practice of medicine with not many of the necessary tools with which to operate and to examine you and that sort of thing? Well, the doctor might go out and borrow some of those tools, or he might do a halfway job on your body and ruin things for you. Well, the preacher is handling matters of eternal importance. And the preacher needs certain tools. And among those tools is the study, the knowledge of the languages, the original languages in which the Bible was written. Of course, we're studying Greek, but there's also the study of the Old Testament, which was written in the Hebrew language, and just a little bit of it in the Aramaic language, which is related to Hebrew. But right now, your attention is centered on the study of Greek. This is a tool that will help you to do many things with the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. I think it's important that we always keep in mind the fact that we are handling the eternal Word of the living God. This is not something we play with. This is an awesome responsibility that we as ministers of the Word of God have. And we should always spend much time in prayer and much time in study and use all of the tools that God has placed at our disposal. I hope you will study diligently. I hope you will do the assignments and study every day, regularly, not let a day go by. When I was studying Greek in my first year of Greek, it was necessary for us, according to the teacher's assignments, to get up every morning. I got up every morning at 4 o'clock and for 2 hours studied Greek until 6 o'clock. And then it was time to do something else, study something else. And each day in class, we had to let the teacher know that we had spent 2 hours studying for this class period. I'm asking the same of you as you study New Testament Greek, to spend 2 hours on each assignment, each thing that we say to study, to memorize. I'm asking you to spend no less than 2 hours. And on some portions, it may require more. You may have to study just a little bit more than 2 hours, maybe even 3 hours. But you're pretty much on your honor now to study the necessary time. You have a goal in mind, and that is to learn Greek. What are you going to get out of Greek? What are you going to be able to do with what you learn in Machen? Let's just mention a few things here. First of all, you'll be able to open a commentary. and get much more out of the commentary than you can at this present moment. You'll be able to read some of those great scholars such as Warfield and Hodge and some of Machen's works that have Greek in them. Some of the great theologians, you'll be able to read something maybe that Calvin wrote. And occasionally he has some Greek in his commentaries and in his institutes. You'll be able to look at those words and understand those. You'll be able to look words up in the Greek lexicon and find out what the words mean. You'll be able to do word studies. In 2 Timothy, there's a passage there that says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for many things. This is in chapter 3, verse 16. That verse says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, an example of a word study here is the fact that those words, given by inspiration of God, that's five words, in the Greek is only one word. It is the word theopneustos. Theopneustos. Now, that word in Greek is made up of two Greek words, theos, which means God. It's part of the word theology. And the other word is pneustos, pneustos, theopneustos. And that word means breathed, breathed. It's an adjective. And when you put God and breathed, theopneustos together, you of course have God breathed. It isn't a subject and a verb. It is one word as an adjective. All Scripture is God breathed. It is the breath of God. Now, there are many other examples, and we'll give some of those as we go along. So, you'll be able to do some word studies, and there are many books that are written on word studies. There's a book written by a man named Trench, and he gives word studies, and he takes words that mean basically the same thing, but there is a difference, and he tells you those differences, and he gives you pictures of what those words mean. Another thing that you'll be able to get out of your Greek study and when you open your Greek New Testament is a study of the grammar. By understanding grammatical constructions, the way words are put together, we call that Greek syntax, the way that the words are put together, one word following another and so forth. You'll be able to understand certain idiosyncrasies of the Greek Bible. For instance, Paul will often say, don't do something, quench not the Spirit, for instance. Well, Greek has a way of saying, stop doing something that you're already doing. Stop quenching the Spirit. Or he might mean there, don't even begin to quench the Spirit. So one time he is saying, don't even start, and the other time he is saying, stop what you're doing. That's one of the nuances, one of the strange ways that Greek comes out. You'd be able to understand a little bit better some of the emphases in your Bible. You'll be able to understand when he is really putting emphasis on something, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit who wrote the Scriptures. You'll be able to understand just a little bit better when he is putting a little bit of oomph into the statement, and when he is just flowing along with the words. There are a lot of translations on the market today, I'm sure you know that, and some of them are good and some of them are not so good. And if you know the Greek, you'll be able to look at a translation and say, this is not too good, or this one is real good. When you get into the pulpit, by the way, your people are not going to be wondering and worrying and want to know so much about what a particular commentary says or what some other scholar says. Your people are going to know, what do you say the Word of God says? And if you're able to understand the Greek and translate it for yourself and compare it with the Bible that you're using, you'll be able to have a lot more authority in the pulpit than you would without that. So, this is one of the tools that you need if you're going to be a faithful minister of the Word of God. And I know you have that ambition to be able to speak authoritatively, "Thus saith the Lord." So study hard, and one of these days, when you get through this book, I hope, of course, that you're planning on going on to study Greek a little bit further than just the first year. Certainly, you will get the tools, you'll get the basics this year, but next year, in your second year Greek, when you are studying, you will get some more tools on top of what you're going to get this year. An old English poet one time said, "A little learning is a dangerous thing." And he said, "Drink deeply at the Pierian spring." So what he's meaning there is, if we learn just a little bit, we can be dangerous. We might say, we might, on the basis of just a little learning, a little knowledge of the Greek, we might give some misinformation, and we might do more harm than we will good if we do not have a deeper learning. So next year, when you go into second year Greek, you'll carry right with you what you are learning this year. All right, now let's turn to Machen's Lesson 1. And again, I repeat for you, memorize, memorize, memorize. I cannot stress that too much. And if you fail to memorize one section, you're going to find yourself in some difficulties. So it is important that anything that I tell you to memorize, you must memorize and really get a good grasp on that memory work. Lesson 1 is the alphabet. You'll notice 1, 2, 3, 4 columns in your textbook here. In the first column, you have a capital A, what it looks like an A, and in English it is an A, the capital B, and then something different, and then a three-cornered letter there. We're not going to worry about that first column. You can skip the first column. Don't mark it out now. You'll be learning that later. For the present time, we're going to be learning, you're going to be learning just the second column. Well, not just the second column. You're going to be learning the second column and the name, the small letters, and the name and pronunciation. So, we're going to look at all three columns at the same time, the small letters, the name, and the pronunciation. So, let's start with that. First letter is alpha. Alpha. Some people say alpha. That's not really right, but I don't think you're going to be having a whole lot of trouble with that. But when you go to pronouncing a word, that letter is pronounced ah. Ah. As we pronounce the A in the word father. Father. So, ah is the alpha. Father. It's the same thing as our letter A in English. The next letter is beta. Beta. And it is the same as, it's equal to our letter B. And when you pronounce a word with a beta in it, you will be saying b, b, as beta, or as in boy, or as in boat. B. So if any word that has a beta in it is a B sound. Let's put the beta and the alpha together and you have ba. Ba. So you already, well, I don't know what that word means, but anyway, that's the way it's pronounced. Ba. The next letter is gamma. Gamma. And like in got or game or go, gamma. Any letter that has that letter, it's a G sound. There is an exception. We'll talk about that a little bit later. There are exceptions in Greek to many of the rules, but most of the rules are pretty steadfast and pretty solid. If you get the principle, then the exceptions to the rules won't cause you a lot of trouble. The next letter is a delta. Delta. And that's the D, as in dog, and do. And don't, door, door, the D, a delta and an alpha together would be da, da. Now the alpha is a vowel. The next letter, epsilon, is also a vowel, epsilon. You pronounce the epsilon like we do in English, the letter E in get. get. And if you put a delta and an epsilon together, you have de, de. Or if you put a gamma and an epsilon, you have ge. And a beta and an epsilon will be be, be. So, e, epsilon. The next letter is zeta, zeta. You notice in the last column, it's a D and a Z together. Zeta, zeta. We have the word zoe. That means life, zoe. That's a zeta, the first letter. All right, let's go to the next letter. Eta, eta, as in the word late, late, or English, eight, eight. Bait, bait. Okay, let's go to the next letter. Theta, theta. Now, this is equivalent to the two letters TH, theta, TH, th, like in thou, thee. Well, then that has a TH sound, but the theta has more of a th, th sound. Like I mentioned the word theopneustos, theos, theos. The word for God starts with this letter theta. Theta. There are, of course, many words with each one of these. The word thelo, thelo. It's a Greek word meaning I wish or I'm willing. A word thanatos, thanatops. Perhaps you're familiar with the word thanatopsis. That was a poem written by one of the earlier American poets, thanatopsis. Tha, thanatos. Where the word means death, death. All right, the next letter is a vowel. A vowel, it is the letter iota, iota, iota. This letter is pronounced I, as in pit. It's also pronounced E, as in feet, feet. So it can have either a long, a short sound, I, or a long sound, E, E. Let's go to the next letter. It looks like a K, a little K. It's kappa, kappa. And when you see a Greek word with a kappa in it, it is pronounced a K. Like our English word cap, C-A-P, cap, k sound. And the Bible has a word, the name of a place, Cappadocia, k. Kappa, kappa, and that sound of that letter there. The next letter is lambda, lambda. That is the L sound, lambda, lambano. That's a Greek word, means I take. Then we have lamb, lamb. Then we have let, let, or letter. That is the same sound of the lambda. The next letter is moo, the sound that we say a cow makes, moo. You don't draw it out quite like a cow draws out moo. Now, you know, a cow would say moo, but we just say moo, moo. That's an M sound, like in move, or moat, or meet, or make. Very easy there. The next letter is new. New, like a new hat, new coat. New, it's an N sound. Never, never. So N. Noon, noon. That's actually, well, that's two words there. Noon, which means 12 o'clock. And noon also is a Greek word that means now. Now, noon means now. The next letter is a combination of two letters, X and or a K and an S. I notice the book has an X here. It is ksi, 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 and it's like the letter a K and S put together. K and S, box, box, docks. D-O-C-K-S, and that has a K and an S. Of course, the word box has just an S, an X on the end of it. But this letter, Xi, Xi. The next letter is aw, aw. Omicron, Omicron. Like in ought, ought. Now, this letter is quite often pronounced with just a slight O sound, ah, bot, box, box. Yeah, that's the way, box. But actually, it should be pronounced aw, as in ought. The word obey, which is in the last column, doesn't really catch it. O is the last letter in Greek, and it doesn't fit here too well. I would recommend that you strike through the word obey and put O-U-G-H-T, ought. The next letter is P, P, P. It's just a letter P in Greek. You might have learned this letter pi when you were studying mathematics. You know, pi r square and that sort of thing. Well, I think the Greeks pronounced it P instead of pi. And when you see this in a word, you pronounce it just like you do an English P. The next letter, which looks like an English P, but it is an R sound, rho, rho, rho. And this will be pronounced just a little bit differently on the beginning of a word. If you will look down to the bottom of the page, to the middle note, it says, at the beginning of a word, the letter rho has a mark over it, which we will discuss later. And that gives it sort of a hro, an H sound on a hro, hro sound. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Just wanted to call it to your attention at the moment. The next letter is sigma, sigma. And you'll notice two sigmas, one in parentheses. It looks just like a letter S. And you pronounce these letters just like they're in the letter, like just like an English S, sigma. And if you see a word with a sigma in it, either way that it looks there, it'll be pronounced just like an English S. Say, so, song, study. It's just like an English S when you're pronouncing this. But let me say the first letter that is outside the parenthesis, you use that letter when it's on the beginning of a word or in the middle of a word. That first sigma, it looks like an S. I mean, it looks like it's a sigma that's in the first of a word or in the middle of a word. The sigma that's in the middle there, in the parenthesis, you only use that on the end of a word. Only on the end of the word. But they are both pronounced the same way. The next letter is tau. Tau. Not tall. Tau. Like the word cow. Cow. But when you are pronouncing this word, this letter in a word, it is a T sound. Like in our word taught, or don't, last letter, don't, or talk. So it is just a letter T, but it is just a letter T that's pronounced tau when it's by itself. The next letter, letter number 20, and by the way, you might want to number the letters. I did in my book. It's number 20. The word, the letter is upsilon. Upsilon. Now, as it says, the French U or the German U with the two dots over it, upsilon. Upsilon. Well, if you just say upsilon, you'll be okay. You'll have no problem. Upsilon. Soup. That's the sound. Soup. Upsilon. The next letter is phi. Fee, like what you have to pay somebody. Fee, like the rhyme, fee, fi, fo, fum. The first one of those, fee. And this is a PH sound or an F sound in English. PH, like in phone, phone, or an F-E-E, an F sound as in fee, fee. The next letter is key. Key, just like a door key. This letter on the first of a word is pronounced K, similar to the kappa, but has, it's supposed to be pronounced a little more rough, you know, a little rougher, or a little more roughly than the kappa is. This letter is the first letter of the Greek word Christos, the word for Christ, Christos. And you will not get into trouble if you pronounce the kappa and the key just alike. I know the last column says, like the German in Ach, Ach, but I've found some Germans who don't pronounce it always that same way. So if you just pronounce it K, you'll have it. The next letter, Psi, Psi, Psi. We say pseud, pseudo, for false, pseudo. Psuche, psuche. That's the only word in the back of your book that begins with the psi, and that's the word for life or soul. Psuche, we get our word psyche, and we usually drop the P sound in English. We say psyche, but in Greek you would say psyche, psuche. The last letter, letter number 24, and no doubt you have noticed before we have gotten here that there are only 24 letters in the Greek alphabet. The last letter is omega, the omega. This is a real O sound, O, just like you're giving a cry. Oh, no, O. That is definitely an O. The other O up in the list there, which is letter number 15, Omicron. Omicron, I think I even said it wrong there. O and all. You remember in the book of Revelation, we have several verses that talk about Christ being the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and last. You notice that Alpha is the first letter, Omega is the last letter. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So here, now you know what that verse means. Back there, in fact, several times in the book of Revelation, you know now how he could say that. That's in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. I have already said, as we were pronouncing the letters, that the gamma is pronounced like the G in got. Now, there are some times when the letter G, a gamma, rather, is pronounced differently. Notice down at the bottom of the page, it says, footnote number one, the gamma or the kappa or the ki, when there is a gamma before any of these letters, when there are two gammas, or there is a gamma with a kappa, or a gamma before a ki, then that first gamma is sounded like an N. And in English we would say song. That would be two gammas. Song, or wrong, or ring. The word that comes to my mind in the Greek is the word euangelion. Euangelion. That ong, g, is two gammas in the middle of the word. You'll be meeting this letter, this word rather, a little later in our study, but and you will learn more readily then how to pronounce these and differentiate. Now you have a syllabus there. On the lesson one in your syllabus, I have tried to help you to learn how to form these letters. Just a few comments, and you'll be able to follow the rest of the lettering here. Notice the word, the letter alpha. You notice where the letter starts, and I've put an arrow to the starting point of the alpha. An arrow goes to pointing to the starting point. And you start up on that, where that arrow is. You start with that point and go down in a rather circular motion to the line. You make a circular motion up, and then you come down back across that line. And with the many steps that I have outlined for you on this page regarding the making of the letters, I believe, and I certainly hope, that you will be able to follow the making of these letters. Now, at first, you will be drawing these letters. And you don't want to draw them very long. You want to write them. You want to be writing the alphabet just as clearly, just as easily as you write the letters, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so forth. You know how easily you write those letters. So you want to be able to write the Greek alphabet instead of drawing it. And that will come after a few lessons when you have had to do a good bit of writing. The beta, notice it starts below the line where the arrow come there is on the first making of that letter. Notice where the arrow is. And notice where the arrow is on the gamma. The gamma starts way above the line. The beta started below the line. The delta starts above the line and a circle around. Looks like a C in that first little bit there. And then you come on up around and it looks something like a D that's rather flashy. Notice the epsilon, just a half moon, a half circle, with a line coming out from the middle of it. The zeta starts way up at the top and just a swing down, and then a little curly Q on the bottom. Eta looks very much like an English N. And if you can read it, I guess that's good enough. Notice the theta is a circle. It starts at the top and makes a full circle, clear back to the top again, and then a line through the middle of it. Iota is just a very small letter, the smallest letter in the Greek alphabet. A kappa, you can make a K, and that will suffice. Lambda, notice it starts up at the top there and comes down, and then it has that little leg coming out to the left there from about halfway up. The noon is just a V lying on its side. Perhaps the C will be one of the harder letters for you to make right at first. It starts way above the line. It looks like a big capital E. A big capital E with that little circular line coming in from the left side and then a little curly Q on the bottom of it. And no doubt you learned to make the P many, many years ago when you were studying algebra. The rho starts below the line and looks just like a beta, except that it only has one curly Q, one circle there, and it ends on the line. The sigma, the first sigma, there, the one that starts the word or is in the middle of the word, that sigma looks like an O with a line coming out to the right side of it. And I've seen people make the sigma, that first sigma, by just making an O and then putting a little line out from it. And if that's the way you want to do it, go to it. The other sigma actually ends below the line. It looks very much like an English S or a Spanish S or other language S's. But actually, the main body of it is above the line and then just a little curly Q below the line. Tau is just a T. Upsilon is a U without the final swirl that we usually put down on the line there on the right side. Just an upsilon. It looks like just a U without the bottom. A phi. Notice that it's a circle. You start at the top, make your little circle around on the line and end up at the top and then come right back through it. The phi. The key is just a big X, but notice the cross where you cross is right on the line. The phi looks like a harp. Well, in some sense, a harp with a line right down through it. It looks like a U, an upsilon with a line through it. That's better. An upsilon with a line through it. And then the omega is just a big, well, not a very big, but it looks like a W. Looks like a W. I said we were just going through a few letters, but we went through them all, didn't we? But I hope that helped you to get through them there. First assignment is to learn the alphabet from alpha through the omega and learn to make them and learn to say them with the same pronunciation that I've tried to give to you, it would be wise, even if you maybe even learn them backwards. Can you do that without, omega, C, key? I can't do it either. So learn to write those letters, and learn to say them, and learn to recognize them. That is your first assignment. And when you have learned that, you're going to be ready for the next page. I would suggest that you turn off the tape recording now and learn the letters of your alphabet. And when you have learned those, then come back. All right, you're back now. Are you satisfied that you know all the letters of the alphabet, that you can write them, that you can say them in order, that you can go down through them real quickly, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, p, rho, sigma, tau, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, ki, psi, omega. Can you do that now? Can you recognize them readily when you see them written? Have you written them many times? All right. You know, you have an advantage here over a student in a classroom. Did you know that? You have a good advantage over him, because when a student leaves the classroom, he doesn't have the teacher with him or her. That student must recall the things that the teacher has said. And you know how it is when you leave a classroom, that many times you have questions about something the teacher has said. Well, the advantage you have is that you can turn this tape backwards till you come to the place where you had the question. And hopefully the answer to your question will be there. And I believe I would have been very much advantaged if, when I was studying Greek, if I had had a tape recorder, but I didn't have one. So anyway, that at least is to your benefit. In paragraph 3, Machen's book, paragraph 3, he discusses vowels. As you learn the alphabet, a couple of times I mentioned the vowels. I don't know that I mentioned them all. But here you have all of the vowels. Now, these are the letters that you're really pronouncing when you pronounce words. Of course, the other letters, the consonants help to pronounce the words, but here is the main part of the word that you pronounced. Now, the vowels are divided into long and short and open and closed vowels, and that's what we will discuss here for a moment. Notice the short vowels: alpha, alpha, epsilon, omicron, iota, and upsilon. Now, you must memorize this. These vowels are very important. Notice that the epsilon and omicron, well, let's look at the second column. The second column is the long vowels: alpha, eta, omega, iota, and upsilon. Now, I'm sure that you have seen by now that the first vowel, alpha, can be either long or short. And certainly you have recognized that the last two vowels are the same in both columns, the iota and the upsilon. There are some vowels that are always short, the epsilon and omicron, and you must recognize these as always short. The next column, eta and omega, you must always recognize that these are always long vowels. This may sound like a lot of theory at the present moment, but in the next lesson on accents, you are going to have this information in your mind very clearly. So my first suggestion is memorize. Epsilon and omicron are always short. Eta and omega are always long. The alpha, iota, and upsilon may be either or, either long or short. Going on down to paragraph 4. We talked now about a diphthong. A diphthong is two letters sounded as one letter. Two letters sounded as one letter. You'll find the diphthongs in the next part of this paragraph 4. And look at those again. Please memorize. Alpha iota is I. I, just like the English pronoun I, or he gives an example in the book, A-I-S-L-E, aisle, aisle. Then the epsilon iota is pronounced A, and it sounds just like an eta, but it's not an eta, it's an epsilon iota, A. Then you noticed oi, omicron iota is oi, like in boy or oil. And then the next diphthong is alpha upsilon, alpha upsilon, pronounced as al in cal, al. Then you have an epsilon upsilon, pronounced as u, u in feud, feud, u. Then we have omicron upsilon, which is pronounced like oo, oo, in food, oo. The last diphthong here is upsilon iota. Upsilon iota is pronounced we, as in queen, we, we. That's all the time we have on this tape.